If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Dean Richards now with more on Paul's tour. And if you were listening to us an hour ago, you were among the first to hear about this. And what's the ticket deal, Dean?
Yeah, the tickets for Paul McCartney coming to the United Center will go on sale 1 week from tomorrow, July the 18th, 10 a.m. through all the usual ticket outlets. You can get more info if you go to Paul McCartney Got Back. .com because the tour is called Got Back 2025. It's going to be Paul's first tour in North America since 2022. The dates again for the United Center, two shows so far, November 24th and 25th. So, you know, we can invite Paul McCartney over for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right. And they have these pre-sale and VIP packages available starting on Tuesday the 15th, next week, and that's on the website. So you register, they send you a pre-sale code and a link to buy the tickets the morning of the pre-sale on July 15th. That's Paul McCartney Got Back. .com, right?
Yeah, that's where all the info is on all the packages and ticket prices. Mostly everything's not going to go on sale until next week, but general ticket sales are going to go on sale on Friday. You know, I just have to point out, I've seen Paul McCartney perform many times. He's always amazing.
Yep.
He's 83 years old, and he's going to be doing this tour. It's not a huge, gigantic, mega, multi-worldwide kind of tour. It's probably about 20 dates in North America, but that's still a lot. And a lot of physical pressure. He's 83 years old.
And he just did a big tour in, was it South America? Yeah. Not too long ago.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of energy. Plus, I don't think I've ever heard you sound so excited.
Well, I've got to see him again, and I'm just wondering what the ticket prices will be.
I can't wait for Thanksgiving.
Even Walter's excited.
Yeah, you know what? Whatever the ticket price is, I don't want to say, you know, never mind the ticket prices. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see one of the greatest performers, writers, figures in pop culture of all time.
Yeah, one day they will refer to Paul and John in the same breath as they do now Beethoven and Mozart.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
Well, that's the deal. I mean, every time he comes through, you say to yourself, I got to go. How many times, you know, will he do this? So I'm there. Let's talk about Superman. A lot of excitement about this, too. And I know you're going to review this for us tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going to give you it's going to be a positive review. I'll tell you that right now. I did like it, but I'll give you many more details tomorrow. When the brand new Superman movie opens, a brand new Superman who we interviewed, we played some clips earlier this week. David Corn Sweat is the new Superman's name. I also talked with the Superman love interest, who is Rachel Brosnahan. Maybe you know her best from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Maybe you know her because you went to school with her. She grew up in Highland Park. Cut her teeth on the North Shore. She went to school, I guess you might say, in Wilmette that, you know, a lot of people have come out of, the Wilmette Actors Training School, Carol Debo's Wilmette Actors Training School. She went to Steppenwolf. Carol Brosnahan has lots and lots of local roots. I talked with her and also the actor who plays Lex Luthor now. We've had two Academy Award winners playing Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman and Kevin Spacey, but there have been about 18 guys who have played you know, Superman's you know, evil, diabolical foe. So Lex Luthor, Lois Lane, talking about taking on these iconic roles.
Rachel, was it for you being Lois Lane?
I knew it was a responsibility to step into the shoes of these characters that are so beloved. But it starts with a great script and a director who you know has a vision that you trust. And James laid the roadmap for us and also created an environment where we felt like we could trust fall into his really capable hands, but that there was also room for collaboration and to really discover through his lens new sides of these characters while still paying homage to the ones that came before. And I know, certainly speaking for myself, you know, we've talked a lot about coming from theater. That's the experience a lot. You step into these iconic roles, if you're lucky enough, that have been played by so many actors so beautifully before. And you have this feeling of stepping on the shoulders of giants when you do it. And when I look at some of the actresses who have played Lois Lane, I just feel incredibly honored to have been entrusted with this next generation's version of this character, and will be very excited to pass the torch.
Nicholas, talk to me a little bit about how great it was to be a bald person.
Well, you know.
Completely. I mean, were you really, or hopefully it wasn't a bald cap?
No. I shaved it off. I actually got my older son to get the clippers out, and he initiated the removal of the hair. I loved it. I find it's no nonsense. It's quick and easy in the mornings. The makeup team on this are brilliant. I'd worked with them before in the X-Men movies, and they were fantastic because
it was the same team.
Alexia and Matt are the same team. So it was very cool as well working with them, because I could go in and be like, hey, I saw this image of Lex in the comic. You see this? You see the angle he's got here, or the shading here? I was like, can you subtly like allude to that with my face and do things like that? So there were lots of little things that the makeup team were doing as well that made me feel more like the character.
I could have focused on any aspect of his amazing performance. I chose to focus on the fact that he's a bald guy.
Of course. That's we'd expect nothing less from
really
you,
all that I care about. Nicholas Holt, if the name isn't ringing a bell, he was a little boy in the movie About a Boy with Hugh Grant about 25 years ago, something like that. He was in the Marvel X-Men movies. Last year he was in Nosferatu. He was in that amazing Clint Eastwood movie, Juror Number 2. He's a great actor, really great actor, and is one of the real highlights of this new Superman movie, as is Rachel Brosnahan. There's some great performances here. Movie opens tomorrow. I'll give you the full scoop on the new Superman then.
I hear it's a little bit different. Can't wait. Dean has good news for fans of The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, there's going to be another spinoff. We've had young Sheldon. Now get ready for Stuart, the supporting character, the comic book store guy on the show. Stuart Fails to Save the Universe is the official name of the show. It will be on HBO Max and will include Big Bang Theory alums Kevin Sussman, who was actually Stuart. Lauren Lapkus was his girlfriend. Brian Posehn was the kind of the dorky geologist on the show. And John Ross Bowie was Kwipke on The Big Bang Theory. It'll center around Stuart, who has to restore reality after he accidentally breaks a device that was built by Sheldon and Leonard that causes worldwide Armageddon. So we don't know when this is going to be on HBO Max yet, but they're also saying that the characters, Sheldon and Leonard, and some of the other main characters from Big Bang Theory may make occasional appearances as well. But if it's as good as young Sheldon, I'd be happy with it. I think it's a pretty funny show.
Were those names an homage by the producers to Sheldon Leonard, the famous producer and actor? What do you think?
I never thought of that.
Could
that
be.
Makes sense. Yeah.
What is this dust-up with the Paul Simon family and Richard Gere all about?
I love this. It's actually Paul Simon's daughter, who is extremely, extremely upset with Richard Gere. Richard Gere bought the home of Paul Simon and his wife, singer Edie Brickell. paid like $10.7 million for it. It was a 1930s mansion. And when Richard Gere bought the home, the young daughter at the time, Lulu, said, promise me you'll take care of the house. This is the house that I grew up in. Please always take care of my childhood house. And now Richard Gere, this house, by the way, sits on 23 acres. It's enormous. Richard Gere never moved into the house. It needed a lot of repair. He never moved into it. And now Richard Gere has moved to Spain, which is where his wife is from. So they have relocated to Spain, and they sold this house. And Paul Simon's daughter is not happy one bit that he is not going to take care of the childhood home as he said he would, but instead has sold it to a developer who is going to divvy the property up of the 23 acres into a 9-property development. So yesterday, Paul Simon's daughter went on Instagram just trashing Richard Gere in one of the most unusual things, I guess, that she said was, I hope my dead pets who are buried in the backyard haunt you until until you descend into a slow and unrelenting madness.
How were people mean to each other before social media?
I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe we weren't mean then.
I don't remember how we did this before social media. But, you know, Richard Gere, he bought the place, and it's his right to sell it. It's his to do as he pleases. And he did keep his promise while he owned it. He didn't do anything to it. He just left it alone and then sold it. And now the developers are going to do what developers do, make multi-billions of dollars by divvying the property up.
Finally, in this era where we are all walking around with cameras in our pockets, you can't fall asleep and not be noticed. Mm-hmm. What happened to Hugh Grant?
Well, Hugh Grant went to Wimbledon. I think this was the day before yesterday. He was actually seated in the royal box at Wimbledon, seated alongside Queen Camilla, along with his wife Anna, and they were watching the quarterfinal clash between Novak Djokovic and Flavio Cobelli at Wimbledon. The match was going on. The match took like 3 hours, and Hugh Grant fell asleep. The ESPN cameras caught him, clearly. Well, I should say, he looked like he was asleep. He had sunglasses on, so you couldn't really tell. But his head was, knotted over, and he wasn't drooling or anything. But we all know that look.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant fell asleep during the 3-hour match at Wimbledon. It was hot outside.
Yeah, tennis can be very relaxing.
Yeah, how invigorating can it be to be sitting next to Queen Camilla? I mean, how was that supposed to keep your interest going? So,
all right. Well, Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood have their lead story for later.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dean, for the scoop.